We're continuing in the Emunah u'Bitachon, and the Chazon Ish had been describing to us the wonderful order that we can notice if we only stop to look at the world, at the formation of man. And he had gone through the different senses and the different strengths that man is granted. And now we continue in the seventh section of the first chapter. Ba'alei ha'chayim mishtavim im ha'adam. Other creatures are just like man. B'mivnei ha'guf u'v'chinotav v'sgulotav. They also have a body. They also have many of the aspects, the physical attributes of the human body. Chomer gufan, basar v'adam. Their body is very often made of similar components. We know that sometimes you can even transplant parts of an animal to a human. They also have flesh. They also have blood. Gidetzem v'kirma. They also have sinews. They have veins. They have bones. They have bone marrow. V'em balei nefesh chiyunit. And they also have life. Meaning, we divide the soul into components. We say there's the more elevated part of the soul, the human part of the soul, and then there's the more basic part of the soul, which is just about life. It's like a battery, right? So the animal has what we call a nefesh chiyunit, that part of the soul which actually just gives you life. That doesn't mean he has the part of the soul that can attain spirituality, but he does have that part of the soul which is called a nefesh chiyunit. Balei chushim kmo adam, they have senses like the human. Nizonim kivnei adam, they also eat like humans. Balei shnei minim, zachar unkeva, they're also formed with a male and a female. Umutar adam min habeima, so what makes man different? And what is man better than the animal? Bechokhma uvedibur, in our intellect and our speech. Our intellect and our speech. Got to think what we do with our intellect and our speech. Balei chayim meshamshim et adam. All the creatures are there to serve man. Kmo shor le'ol, you use an ox to carry weight. V'chamor le'masa, a donkey to carry loads. U'mechinim mazon la'adam, they prepare food for man. Chalav u'beitzim, animals prepare milk and eggs. U'mem she'mechinim tzemel l'levusho, some animals prepare wool to be clothed with. U'mem she'em atzmam achal l'bnei adam, some animals are themselves the food of man. V'nivre'u b'sugim shonim u'v'minim rabim, God created many different types, many different species, umzonotem shonim ze mize, and the different animals live off of different foods. Umehem shen bnei adam nenimem. Some animals, man doesn't really benefit from. Kmo chayot torfot. For example, you have wild animals like a cheetah. There's very little we get out of a cheetah. There's very little we get out of a tiger. Venechashim. So even though we do get some of our heart medication from snakes, but there is very little benefit that we get from snakes. Vishkatzim v'ramasim. And the same is true of cockroaches. And the same is true of all the different vermin. So we don't see direct benefit from every creature on the planet. You know the famous medrash about King David, right? It's interesting. This is a medrash that everyone knows. Children learn it. But I couldn't find it yet. I'm still looking. The medrash says that King David wondered why God created spiders and why spiders were given the capacity to make spider webs. And God answered him, you'll see. And then one time again, this is the medrash I heard as a child numerous times, but don't know where it says it. One time King David was running from Saul, and he ran into a cave to hide, and Saul was close on his heels. And a spider came and quickly drew a web across the opening of the cave, and really King David had nowhere to run. He was stuck in the cave, but King Saul came, and as he looked at the cave, he saw the spider web there, and he said, nah, he can't be in there. Look at that spider web. And he continued searching, and thanks to that spider, he didn't find King David. So that's the story they tell about how God showed King David that even a spider and its webs have certain benefit to a human in certain instances. So, coming back to the Chazon Ish. You should know that even though we don't know, we don't see the benefits from the cockroach and the ant, etc., there are benefits to the world. The Chazon Ish is referring to what we might call today the ecosystem, right? Sometimes they're used to punish man. You ever try to go to sleep and that mosquito buzzing next to your ear? Yeah. Sometimes by looking at insects, one can learn wisdom, and one can also learn ethics. You could learn how to behave. וכבר הורגלנו במציאותן, and we're so accustomed to having these vermin around, ואנו נרגשים כי מבלעדם היה עולם חסר, ואין עולם יפה ושלם, אלא כשחיות טורפות בו. We feel like without them, the world would be missing. What would the world look like if you didn't have a lion or a leopard or an alligator or a tiger? רב הרגל מחה את רגש התפעלות הנפש. Habit, force of habit, the fact that we're so accustomed to things, that dulls our sense of wonderment. הראוי מכל חי באשר הוא חי. We should really be in awe every time we look at a fly. You know, I found a dead grasshopper on my table the other day. A little grasshopper. So I left it there. So my wife asked me, why don't you throw it out? I said, because he has beautiful wings. And I don't know if the kids ever stopped to look at the wings of a grasshopper. So I'm saving it so that when they come home, I could show them, and we could take a magnifying glass and sit down and look at the beauty of a grasshopper. So they said the same thing Akiva just did, right? They weren't as impressed as I was. But the truth is that there's tremendous wisdom and beauty in every creature. When we were considering moving to Kochav Yaakov, so we went online. We wanted to see what we could find online about Kochav Yaakov. And there was a video there which showed some of the American dwellers of Kochav Yaakov being interviewed. And one of them described how he came to Kochav Yaakov when it was just starting. He said, I came here, we'd go to sleep at night, and you didn't hear anything. He said, you see the crickets here, right? At night you go to sleep now, you hear crickets, you have spiders and mosquitoes. When we came here there was nothing. It was so dead, you didn't have a spider, you didn't have a mosquito, you didn't have a cricket. He said, yeah, now there's life here, so you have that too. You have flies, you have everything. So that he marveled at the mosquitoes. He said, you know, when I look at a mosquito, I'm happy. I remember when I came here, there were no mosquitoes. So that's life. But Chaznish is saying a different point. He's saying there is what to marvel at every time we look at something living. The only thing is we're accustomed to it. I read a book as a kid. I know. I read a book to my son about a kid that got lost on an island. And there were no people there. So he started talking to the monkey. There's a monkey there. Not that the monkey understood him, but he needed to talk to someone. So it was great for him. There was a monkey on the island. We get so impressed when we see something that's uncommon. You go to the zoo, you look at the elephant, you say, wow, you look at the monkey, that's amazing. If you see we live in a different world. He says you don't get excited when you see a mouse. It's very interesting. I was giving shiur last week in shul, and a mouse came in. I never saw a mouse in my life. I've seen rats, I never saw a mouse. That thing was so cute. You know, mamash like Mickey Mouse, little ears and everything. I never saw a mouse. It struck me that, you know, people go to the zoo. To me, the mouse was exciting. You know, they got up to kill it. And I was thinking, poor mouse, he's so cute. What are they killing him for? But at any rate, there are things when something's a novelty, when you've never seen it, you get excited over it. But why don't we get excited over a mosquito? Because we're used to mosquitoes. But the truth is that a mosquito is an amazing thing too. Vadnei Asadeh, the Talmud describes, there was this wild animal that had a navel that went down and was attached to the ground. It was some kind of extraordinary creature that looked like a human, but was really wild like an animal. So, v'chein teva adam nishtomei min abriyot hamshunot lekuyei mumin. And that's our nature also, that when we see something extraordinary, you see a man with three hands, you say, wow, look at that. You see someone that there's something wrong with them, that's amazing to us, right? Onanas beyoter, you see a midget, or aroch beyoter, or you see a guy that's like a 10-footer. Hitpalut zo yisoda b'dimayon velo b'sechel. He says, if you think about it, the reason we get so impressed stems from our imagination and not from our intellect. Because our intellect would really be impressed with everything. with the mosquito, with the ant. If you think about it, if you use your brain, then you realize that everything's impressive. Every living organism is impressive. The reason we get impressed with a midget is because our imagination automatically associates many things with that midget, or with the person who's extraordinarily tall, or the unicorn, etc. Yes?
It's also that we dread mosquitoes, spiders, and because they've been known to bite and annoy people, as opposed to a lion that you see in a cage that is never going to cause you harm.
It's possible. It's possible. What would you say about the fact that we walk by cats and dogs? You're saying we're worried they're going to bite us? Think about all the living creatures you see that don't threaten you on a given day. You see a butterfly. You know, if you see a moth. There are many living creatures we see. We don't stop to think about them. They're not impressive to us. And the reason is because we're accustomed to it. I'll give you an example from something that's not a living creature. I used to go to shir in Har Nof. Every Friday, I'd go to hear a class in Har Nof. And even though I was learning while I was in the bus stop, and I was learning on every other bus, except for the bus to Har Nof. On the bus to Har Nof, my face would be glued to the window looking at the beautiful view as I'm going on the bus in Har Nof. And after seeing that view a few hundred times, I can't even understand what I thought was beautiful about it. Today I look at it and I try to get excited. I can't get excited. And the same thing with Kochav Yaakov. Until we moved there, for 2 years, we were traveling every Shabbos. And every time we'd go by daylight, I couldn't help but taking like a half a minute or a minute to take in the beautiful sight. I felt like I was falling in love. And once we decided we're moving there, and I realized this is the view I'm going to see quite possibly for the rest of my life, I can't for the life of me figure out what I got excited about. I look at it and I try to excite myself. I try to remind myself what was so exciting. I don't know. And I'll tell you, when I was here, the first years I was here, and I didn't know I was going to merit to make Aliyah, every Friday I'd go to the Kotel. I'd learn all night Thursday, go to the Kotel, and then go to sleep. That was my regimen. I don't recommend it for anyone. You know, the last 2 hours of a night spent not sleeping are usually wasted. So I don't recommend it at all. But you know what? When you're a youngster, you don't realize whether you're gaining from something or not. You think it's a nice idea, you do it. So I went with it. Every Thursday night, I'd learn Daven Vasikin, and when I could get a bus to Daven Vasikin, then I'd do that, and when not. And I never calmed down from it. I'd hardly miss a Friday. Today, I go to the Kotel. I have to work on myself to get excited. So now, I live out of Jerusalem, it's harder to go, so you get excited again. But when I lived up the block, and we'd go every Yomtiv, and I was able to go almost every Friday, and I had friends who went every Shabbos, even the Kotel was hard to get excited over. Part of our nature is that we get excited over things that are rare. And when something becomes so commonplace, it's very hard to get excited over it. Our sages say that we run that risk with the Rebbe as well. The Mishnah says that the nature of a Rebbe is that he doesn't place a distance between him and the student. And so the student over time starts feeling comfortable with him to the point where the Mishnah has to warn us and tell us, be careful because it's still a coal. Even when you deal with coals a lot, sometimes you touch it and then you don't realize it burns. If you guys ever volunteer to kasher dishes for Pesach as a mashgiach, you'll see that that's what happens. The first few times you dunk dishes in water that's literally boiling, you're very careful. But then, after you've dunked about 1,000 dishes, what usually happens is you start working quickly, and then what frequently happens is that one time when you stick it in, and the top of the glove goes under the water. And suddenly you get a very rude reminder that this water is boiling. Because even something as dangerous as boiling hot water, a person can get used to it. You know, you get used to the danger. At some point, you forget what you're doing. So the habit causes us to stop being impressed, even fearful of things that really should impress us. And he's saying, if we think about it, then even the mosquito we look at is amazing. The issue is we don't think about it. We get very impressed with what we see in the zoo. But if we'd stop to think, there are amazing things going on all around us. And this is part of what he's developing, that if you want to find God in the world, you don't have to look so far. You don't have to go and see the newest, what do they call it? Ring around Saturn, the ring around Venus. What did they just come up with? They got new pictures. There's a galaxy, but they also just got a better picture of one of the rings around Venus, something they never had before. So, okay, you get very excited over that. But the truth is, what's going on around us is also exciting if we only stop to think.